for his hand in your life. You are worthy, God. You are worthy, Jesus.
Let me tell you what I witnessed yesterday. I witnessed people flooding our campus with cars, coming in to enjoy the day, the beautiful day. But I talked to more people yesterday in the 12-hour or 8-hour period, whatever it was all day, than I have ever spoken to in one day. And I witnessed time and time again people pouring out their lives to this guy they just met. It was amazing. I witnessed it. And then the people would say, Pastor, why? Why would a church do a cruising? What's the, we just love people. We just want to speak life to people. So enjoy the day. One person asked me if I was preaching. I said, no. No one wants to hear me preach today. You want to hear me preach, come tomorrow. Right? Or log online. This is just about having fun. Come to church, have some fun, show off your car, listen to some good music. I witnessed it. And people started telling me their situations, and they started to explain to me their life story. And I started to see the series that I am preaching, The Power of One. And I have a feeling you're starting to figure this out. The Power of One, speaking life somebody that was talking to each and every one of us that were there yesterday working, and those that showed up just to fellowship, that we spoke life into people. And I witnessed it. I witnessed what they were saying, and they witnessed the power of one person willing to listen and speak life into them. I witnessed it. I witnessed the power of God just slowly moving car to car, person to person. Some were so receptive. And others said, one person said, I'm never coming to church. Never going to come to church. I said, great. Enjoy today at church. Enjoy today here at this church, right? I witnessed it. Everything you do, church, God's going to use. Through the power of one. You had the opportunity yesterday. You have the opportunity to do it today. You have the opportunity to do it tomorrow and every single day, that God can work through you if you just make yourself available for the power of one to be used however he needs to use you. We just witnessed it yesterday. Let's pray about that. Father God, we thank you, Lord. Father God, you were faithful always. And lives were touched and transformed yesterday, Lord. Because people saw the Church of Jesus Christ just reaching out and having a good time with them. We didn't judge anybody. There was no condemnation, Lord. Thank you so much. We just spoke life. And Lord God, I thank you that we witnessed that yesterday. We thank you, Lord God, you provided the opportunity for Cross Point Church to speak life to this community. We thank you, Lord God, for that witness in our lives, in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, look at somebody and say, I'm going to witness it every single day. Every single day, I'm going to witness it. Good morning, Cross Point. I'll just give you the quick commercial, right? I talked to so many people yesterday that I've got a voice that's just kind of holding on, right? It's just kind of like, I got a feeling like any time. I've been praying this morning, God, just give me the rest of the morning so it just doesn't like fall off the cliff and disappear. Because this morning I was, you know, I was struggling to speak. Now, my wife was really happy about that. So, you know, but I was like, okay, I got to get through this, the preaching, right? I got to get through that. So I'm going to struggle a little bit. So please forgive me. I think, again, I spoke to so many people yesterday that my voice is a little shaky. My wife and the worship team sing so much. And then yesterday they sang a lot. And then they come in this morning to sing a lot. I'm not sure how they do it. Right? I don't know how they do that. But my voice is a little shaky right now, so we're going to just pray to God. You pray for me as I go out throughout this morning. But yesterday was amazing. You know, if you're watching online, thank you for joining us today. So many people watching us on each Sunday. Thank you, Chris Labra, the mother of the Labra brothers, watching us this morning. Thank you, Chris, so much for joining in. That's my cousin and the mom, and we had the Labra brothers here yesterday singing. What a great bunch of boys. And the mom's watching this morning. So it just was a great day yesterday. So thank you for all that are watching and on the online and on the podcast, on both sides, on all the places we broadcast, YouTube. And let's see here, the online campus at seapoint.church, Facebook, you know, all those places that we're broadcasting to. And soon we may be broadcasting to WHBC Radio here in Canton. So wow, listen for that. We may be doing that here very shortly. Goodness gracious, we're getting the word out, right? Because we just believe in reaching people. But yesterday was great. So if you missed it or you still want to get some memento from yesterday, hey, get a shirt. You can go out to the VIP center right after service and pick up a shirt for $150. it was an expensive day yesterday. We got to make up some money, right? Is that okay? Right? For $15. Oh, yeah, $15, right? $15. I put an extra zero, but that's okay. $15, you can grab yourself a shirt. And Pastor Mike and Christine wore their shirts. I probably should have done that. And Pastor Mike said, hey, there's some more in the office here. I just don't know if I have the energy to swap out a shirt. Right? Mike sent me a little text last night. Says, Pastor, look how much I walked. 15 miles, did that, 14 miles, something like that? 15 miles. I didn't wear my Apple Watch, so I wasn't tracking my steps, and Nicole did a lot of steps. You know, 15 miles walking an asphalt parking lot, right? There was just a lot going on yesterday. So if you want a Cross Point Church t-shirt, you would probably want to have one of those because they're like a really hot item. You just want one of these. The VIP Center ladies and guys will certainly take care of you. Now, we don't have the MasterCard and the swiping set up there, I think, so you'll just need cash or a check or an IOU, okay? We do? Oh, well, I stand corrected. Maybe they will be able to do that. The pastor knows nothing, right? I don't know what's going on, right? I want to tell you, church, I got to say, I'm really, really blown away. Because this church just responded yesterday. This church did something that I see few churches doing. They just rallied around something and they said, we're going to speak life to people. And this church just went out and just got the job done. Church, thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. So many of you participated and worked, and so many of you attended the cruise-in yesterday. I'm not going to say all the names because I know I might forget one, and I'm older now, right? So I will forget somebody, and I don't want to offend anybody, but boy, there was somebody. If you were involved in the cruise-in, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor, okay? If you were wearing one of our staff shirts or you were a volunteer, do me a favor. Stand up for me right now. I just want to see who you are, and I want to say thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Now, I didn't say sit down. Simon says, right? So if you attended yesterday, stand up. Stand up. I know much of you attended. Some of you couldn't. Look at that. Let's see. Thank you so much. Thank you. Now, the rest of you that weren't able to attend, I know several of you reached out to me. God love you. Just stand up anyways because you said, I will pray, Pastor. So stand up with us. All of you stand up. I know you all prayed. Thank you so much. I know you were praying. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Now, something special also happened yesterday. Some of our own folks, I think we had roughly 60 vehicles show up, give or take. 60 vehicles, right? I brought the Harley over, didn't win a thing, you know. But anyways, I brought the Harley over and whatnot. We had a great time. But there are some people here today that won some trophies. Yeah, they won some trophies. One of our very own won second best motorcycle. Yvonne, where are you? Would you stand for us? There she is right over here. Yeah. Thank you, Yvonne. She's worked so hard to get that thing going and running, and, you know, it was great. We also had, I think, now help me, Bob, won second place for best car. Bob, would you please stand up? Yep, Bob's right over here. Yep. Cool motorcycles, cool car. Now, I'm doing this by memory. Did I miss anybody? Was that the top three? We're good? Jim Castor, that's right, won number one motorcycle. Jim, are you in the? Are you around? There he is, right there. Thank you, Jim. Jim, I am sorry, but you beat me out, so I'm not happy with you right now. So, but I'll just do the, you know, I'll do the right thing. And anybody else that is? That's right, Craig beat me. Yeah, Craig beat me out too. So, you know, guys, don't bring those motorcycles. Craig, where are you this morning? Are you here today? Craig, stand up for me, right in the middle. There he is. Now, the word on the street was Craig brought, he cheated. He brought two. Is that right? Did you bring two motorcycles yesterday? How can the pastor win when my church people bring two motorcycles, right? How am I going to win, right? I'm never coming back to this church, right? I had fun. Mike, am I missing anybody else? Thank you. Thank you. I, you know, I don't want to call people out, make them embarrassed, but, you know, I don't care right now. We're going to make them embarrassed, right? You were faithful. Thank you so much, church. Thank you so much. I don't know. I had a great time. Nicole and I got home last night. We looked at each other and said, are we going to do this again? Well, let's talk about that later, because my back and my neck and my legs hurt so bad, I don't want to even talk about it, right? I had to get the motorcycle back, and I brought my trailer so we could use it for transporting of equipment and whatnot. And, you know, I don't want to, you know, give all this, you know, I don't want to call people out, but I do want to say one thing, church. Ryan Baker just worked like a dog yesterday, and thank you, Ryan. Ryan. You know, Ryan does our sound here, and his faithful team and our sound booth, who are just so dedicated. And I know everyone worked really hard yesterday. Thank you again so much. But, you know, there was a guy that wore so many different hats, I kind of lost track, to be honest, with sound. And, you know, he was a mover. Like, I was moving equipment with him, and he knew right where it goes and how to set it up and plug it in and do it, you know. And I'm like, okay, this is way beyond me. So thank you so much, church. It was outstanding. Now, I'll give you a couple days off, and we'll do another one, right? Did somebody not ask us if we're going to do another one in the fall? Did not. I said no. You know, it'll take me till fall to recover from the one we just got done doing, right? Well, folks, you did it. You launched the church into the summer with a great event. You just experienced the series that I am teaching on, the power of one. One-to-one. The power that the Lord Jesus Christ gave you to speak life through the power of one, to use you. You just got the opportunity to use that in action yesterday. It was awesome. You did great. Thank you so much. You are the power of one. Let's continue on with this series, and I'll get you out by 2 o'clock today, I promise. Somebody said to me, Pastor, everyone's so tired, how many people you think will fall asleep? And I said, well, I tell you what, if they fall asleep today, I will call them out. So get ready, right? I'll say, hey, so-and-so, wake up, right? It will probably be your pastor, right? I will probably. Thank you so much. And, you know, I listen, a special thanks to Mike and Christine, too. Thank you, Mike and Christine, for just working so hard. And thank you. I told myself I can't call it, you know, start naming them because I'll forget somebody, and I don't want to do that. But boy, there's some people on our staff that just, you know, I'm just the church staff. You are in a church that does whatever it takes for the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is great, and I am so honored to surround myself with the best pastoral staff, the best leaders, the best support staff, the best congregation, the best church I could ever imagine. Thank you so much. I am just so humbled this morning, church. I'm so sorry, but you've got me so worked up. I'm so humbled about what you continue to do for the kingdom and the lives that you continue to touch. That is the power of one. What can God do through you? What could God do through you? Week one, we talked about Pentecost, the outpouring of the power of God on planet Earth, unleashing the power of an unshakable kingdom right into each and every one of us. God is not shakable. God is not shakable. And Jesus' position throughout this is to be right in the middle, right between an unshakable kingdom and a shaken world. Right? Right in between. Always there, always unleashing power, always doing things on our behalf as we call upon the name of the Lord. Why? So he can use each and every one of us in a supernatural way, just like you saw yesterday. A supernatural touch from people, loving on people. God's love, God's compassion, right? Just loving on people, spending time with them. It's absolutely unbelievable. Last week we talked about this unshakable kingdom is unavoidable. You come into contact. Yesterday, many people came into contact with an unavoidable kingdom of heaven. They had no choice. It was front and center. It was unavoidable. And we talked about that last week. We talked about how unavoidable means I can't avoid it. I'm going to come into contact with it. It's inevitable. It's inescapable, and it's undeniable. We may deny it for a while, but people will finally say, wow, that was an unavoidable kingdom that I just experienced. And many do that when things are happening in their life that is tragic. The definition of that unavoidable kingdom comes from Psalms 139:7. I can never escape from your spirit, the psalmist said, King David, right? I can never get away from your presence. It's always there. It's always there. Even though the kingdom of God is unavoidable, we can make ourselves unavailable to it. Choice, right? And I taught you last week there are two clues that something great is going to happen in your life from this unavoidable kingdom that you just can't get around. You're going to come face to face with it. Two things. Nothing is working in your life. And nothing makes sense. When you get to the point where nothing's working and nothing makes sense, God's got something on the horizon for you, I would challenge you and I taught you, start looking. Start looking. We talked about the one that's, you know, nothing is just going right. We talked about Jonah trying to get away from going to Nineveh to preach, and God does all these things to get his attention, and we talked about that. We talked about nothing, you know, makes sense, and Simon, who is Peter, right? And Jesus in the boat, and he says, cast your net again. Let's go fishing. So, oh, we fished all night. We don't want to do that. Let's try it again. You don't know anything about fishing. I know fishing. Right, I'm paraphrasing. You know, Simon, I know this. We've done it. You don't go in the deep water. You don't go during the day. You don't do all these things. And you're asking me to do these things. It don't make sense. Let's try it again. And the Bible says they caught so much fish that the nets were breaking. But he had to throw the net out. We had to throw the net out yesterday, folks. You had to throw the net out. If you don't throw the net out, you don't have the opportunity to catch a fish. So he throws the net out. Didn't make sense. Doesn't make sense to do a Cross Point cruising probably, right? But we throw the net out. And we'll just let God be God. Right? We talked that. What about today? Today, we're going to move on through the series, The Kingdom of God. This unshakable kingdom is unchangeable. It's unchangeable. Now, we are changeable, right? Now, I know my wife's saying right now, boy, I wish she would change, right? No? Okay. Right? I wish she would change. No, she's not. I'm teasing, right? But the kingdom's unchangeable. I'm going to teach you some things today, folks. The world changes all the time. Every single day the world changes, right? Thank heaven that God's kingdom is unchangeable, right? The world is changing because we as people are always changing. Ever since the fall of Adam, when sin was introduced into the world, change has been a part of our life. Change just happens. Today, I'm going to do a little bit more teaching than preaching. I hope that's okay because I just don't have the voice to get too preachy, but I got lots of teaching I want to do, and I'm hoping that you receive it because this kingdom is just unchangeable. But there's that word, change. It strikes fear in too many of us. It strikes fear. Many people are just so change averse. They're like afraid of it. And then there's other people. My wife's shaking her head because she's one of them. And that's, you know, that's fine. She's not a change girl. Now, your pastor, it doesn't bother me as much. I don't mind, right? But there's some people that just, we can't change. We just can't, right? And that's okay because God made you that way. It's okay. We'll talk about that here in a second. It's okay. But it puts two things into you when you hear this word. It's one of the most dreaded words that you hear, change. Because right away, something different is going to happen. And you don't know what that is until you learn about the change, right? What's going to happen with this change thing? And we've talked about a little bit about this in some other series, but let me do a refresher because it's really important. And there's two words that show up when you say change. There's fear and excitement, right? Depends on how much you like change. If you hate change, you're on the fear side. Raise your hand. There you go. Right. So you're on the fear side. And if you're a little bit more in the middle or farther to the other side and you know, change doesn't bother you because you see it as opportunity, then you're like more excited, right? It's okay. And somewhere on this sliding scale is where you're all sitting. Okay. Let me give you an example. Well, here, so this morning on June 2nd, 2024, the pastor comes up with his wife and says, we're going to resign from the church, right? This is an example. See, right away, I look out, and people are fearful, except for several of you that got really excited, right? Right? I saw you, right? You're like, some of you are like, oh my gosh, they're resigning, which we're not. But then there's this handful, they're like, yeah, right? There it is, right? There it is. Change. Because right away you say to yourself, what's going to happen now? You're stuck with this. I'm just going to tell you right now. You might as well just settle in, right? I'm too sore to go anywhere now. I just can't do it. But fear and excitement, church. Fear and excitement drive that change and how you feel about that change, right? It drives it. God hardwired you of how to feel when change shows up. But he also hardwired you with five core things inside of you. And I'm going to talk about that for the next 1 minute because there's one I'm going to key on. But I taught you this a while back, and I don't know if you remember, but God hardwired you with five core constructs, like things in your personality, okay? And the scientists out there have called that, the acronym is called OCEAN, right? It spells out OCEAN, and you'll see why. The O stands for openness. Openness to things that are new, open to new environments. How open are you to change? And it's a sliding scale. Right? That's the O. How open are you? And it takes the curious people like, this ain't bad, to the people that are more cautious and they say, fearful. I don't know. Right? The second one is conscientiousness. Is the C. How conscientious are you? What does that mean? That means how efficient you are versus how careless we are. Right? The E stands for how outgoing. It's extroversion. Right? So how outgoing you are or how reserved you are. That's three. That's O-C-E, right? Then the A stands for agreeableness, how friendly you are or how critical you are, sliding scale. It's just, okay, that's how God's kind of hardwired us. Some people are super friendly, really agreeable. Pastor, whatever you want to do, let's just do it. Others will say, cruising? Are you crazy? Right? I ain't doing that. It's okay. You don't have to do it, right? And more on the critical side, right? The N stands for neuroticism, how nervous you are, as opposed to how steady you are. And it's all a sliding scale. God hardwired that inside of us. The one I want to talk to you and give you a little insight on this morning as we move through is the O, the openness. Openness to what? Openness to change. openness to change, and how that fear and that excitement will drive that sliding scale of how open you are to change. I am not introducing big change today. So don't think I'm leading up to something. I'm not. I'm going to show you how humans are and how the Word talks about how God is, right? How open are you to change? There's two core factors affecting our change. We talked about the fear. We talked about excitement of the unknown. That's the first one. The second one is, have you ever been burned by a change in the past? How fearful are you of change? How excited you get when you talk about changing something? And what changes in your life in the past affected you, both good or bad? Okay? It's God made us like that, right? It's your personality. We're all hardwired like that, right? And these factors affect how you process a change. Now, I tell you what, I didn't know if I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to have them show a diagram on the screen behind me. This is called the Kubler-Ross change curve. This is the process we as humans go through, hardwired, when change shows up in our life. Okay? When change shows up in our life, the first thing that happens is there's some shock, right? You can see shock at the bottom left-hand corner. It's a surprise. What? You're shocked. You're kind of on the low. That's why it's kind of like a graph, right? You're like, whoa, wait, what? This is how you react. There's some shock, right? The fear, the excitement, but you're shocked. Like, there's some change coming, right? It could be good or bad in your definition of change. But then the next thing that happens is there's some denial. Oh, the farther you are on the fear side, the more denial. The farther you are on the excitement side, it's not so much denial. Right? But if you're really on the fear side, you're like, it didn't happen. I can't do this. I can't. And you see a lot of that when somebody loses a loved one. The denial. The shock and denial. It's really fear of what the future holds for me. And many of us have been through that, especially if you lost a spouse, right? So you're in denial. Second thing, the third thing is frustration. Things are going to be different. So you've got this frustration going all through you. I'm leading up to something. Hold on. You got this frustration. Things are going to be different. And you're trying to process all that, right? Depression sets in. The farther you are on the fear side, the more depression. The farther you are on the excitement side, not so much. Okay? That's how it works. Then the experimentation starts. You start to dabble in the new environment you're in of the change. You start to dabble in it. You said, okay, I have no choice. It's going to change. I got to take a look. And you start to dabble a little bit. And you can see the scale behind me. If you're online, you can see it on your screen, the bottom right-hand corner. You can see how this thing starts to change. You're shocked, you go up, you're in denial, you're frustrated, it comes back down into depression. You start going back up. The more you experiment with the change, the more you're starting to feel, maybe I have no choice. I'm going to have to do it. So I'm going to start to experiment with it and dabble with it. Then you get to a little higher. It gets to decision time. I'm either going to embrace this change or I'm not. You make a decision. Now, church, people can say, I ain't going to do it. And then you stop right there at the decision. You're done. Your decision is, I'm not doing it. And others decide, I have no choice. I'm going to do it. And some people live in some of these areas for a lifetime. They live in shock. They live in denial. They live in frustration, or they live in depression. They live in the experimentation, but they never adapt and make a decision. Some live in the decision phase forever. Back and forth with the decision. I like it. I don't like it. I like it. I like it. I don't like it. And they live there. And then you get to the final one. It's called integration. Now, your pastor has studied this, as you probably, some of you, many of you probably know this already, that I've studied some of this stuff. So, and then that's the renewed person. My change affected my life. I'm going to have to integrate that change into my life to move on in my life. That's the change, right? And that's what it looks like. And that's just a really quick overview of how God hardwired us for change. I have an announcement for you this morning. God is unchangeable. He's not affected by any of that. church. That is you and I. When sin came into the world, God had to start hardwiring us to a personality and all this stuff, and science studies it all. But God of heaven is not affected, because God in heaven is unchangeable. Buckle your seatbelts, and I'm going to show you something. The idea that God is unchanging in a changing world is a theological concept called immutability. Boy. Of God. The Bible says that God's essence, his attributes, his purposes, they don't change. We do, but he doesn't, right? That means God does not grow or sink back, and he never gains or loses attributes. Malachi 3:6 says, I am the Lord. That's who he is. And then he says what he can't do. I can't change. I do not change. Unchangeable. You're aligning yourself with the great I am, and I am who I say I am, and I can't be changed. I can't. There's no change here, right? The thought's like this, but people are mutable. They are subject to change, and I just explained that in 5 or so minutes. They are subject to change in any degree. Therefore, our only hope in life is this. Since God never changes, he is the one constant we can count on while everything around us is radically changing. Every single day you can turn on your television, or you can watch the news, or you can whatever, or listen to it online, and you know those changes, right? So what are we talking about? We are talking about a changing world versus an unchanging kingdom. A changing world versus an unchanging kingdom. And where do we align ourselves on that scale? And once again, church, the Lord Jesus Christ sits in the middle between a changing world and the unchanging kingdom of heaven. And he's the power of one. And when you align yourself with that power of one, you find yourself not being so changeable, because you're aligning yourself with an unchanging, rock-solid kingdom of heaven. And that power of one to be used on planet Earth shows up in your life, right? Here's the definition of unchanging. It goes like this. All that God is, he has always been and will forever always be. And right in that definition is this word twice. It says always. There is nothing on planet Earth that's always. Nothing in your life, nothing on planet Earth that's always. But the Lord Jesus Christ in the kingdom of heaven has dominion over the word always. I am always faithful. I am always all-knowing. I am always compassionate. I am always there. I am always in victory. I always give freedom. I always support you. I always deliver. I always answer your prayer, regardless of whether you've seen it answered yet or not. I will always do it. Nothing on planet Earth can take dominion over the word always, but the kingdom of heaven owns always. Owns it. I always will be there. Now, we look at that through this definition in our personal filter. God doesn't live beyond, you know, on our side of our filter when we talk always. He's on the other side. He knows he's going to do it. He always is there because he's unchanging. But we look at it on our side, and God's on the other side saying, I will deliver. I will do it. And you're going to watch how he does that here in a second. Whatever God is, he always is. There's no sometimes to God. There's no sometimes to his attributes. His attributes are always attributes. Let's dive in. 1 Samuel 15:29. And he who is the glory of Israel will not lie, nor will he change his mind. For he is not human that he should change his mind. Right away, God, back in this scripture, makes the comparison between himself and you and I. I am this, but humans are this. And again, between God and humanity, between God who is incapable of lying and humans that can lie, the Lord Jesus Christ will sit, whether he showed up on earth or not. That's where he sits, right? The same thing shows up in Numbers 23:19. It says, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. Has he ever spoken and failed to act? Question mark, right? Has he ever failed to act? Has he ever promised and not carried it through? Now, right away, I read that scripture. Some people here or maybe online are saying, yeah, Pastor, I'm going to tell you right now, yeah, he's not carried through. Maybe you'll say, I got this situation, Pastor, that he's not carried through. He's not done it. So I'm going to say, yeah, I think that's not maybe accurate. I'm going to say, not yet has he done it. See, that's the filter I'm talking about. Not yet has he done it. You don't see that yet. Nor do you see the blueprint that God's working with. Nor do you see the schematic or the architecture in heaven of what he's got planned for you. You don't see it yet. You haven't experienced it yet. But you're on the other side saying, I don't see it. Because you're not there yet. You haven't arrived. You're not ready for it yet. God doesn't change. So, God's unchangeability is seen in the life of Abraham. Let's use it, this scripture. We've been using it. It's really good. But I'm going to go to Hebrews 6:13 through 20. For example, there was a God, and God promises something to Abraham. I got a promise for you. Now, right away, God's making a promise, right? Since there was no one greater to swear by, God took an oath in his own name. You got to stop for a second. Just look at that. He's the highest. There is no one higher. So when you make an oath and promise and all that, he's the guy you're making the oath with. I promise I won't do that. That's you. But the Lord thy God, who cannot lie, is making an oath, right? I will certainly bless you, and I will multiply your descendants beyond number. I'm going to give you some kids, and they're going to be so numerous. You'll never be able to count them. You're going to be a father of a lot of people, right? Then Abraham waited patiently, and he did receive what God had promised. Now, when the people take an oath, they call on someone greater than themselves to hold them to it. In my life, that's my wife. Nicole, help me remember. No, I'm being serious. God, you know, Lord, I mean, God, of course, but my wife helps me, and I help her, right? Hold our feet to the fire, and without any question, the oath is binding. God also bound himself with an oath so that those who received this promise could be perfectly sure he would never change his mind. See, God's not going to change his mind, but you don't look at it like that. When it doesn't show up on your timetable, you start to question that. We just talked about that. So God has given both his promise and an oath. God has given a promise and an oath. I'll explain that in a second. These two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. Not a lie, but God's in front of us. This hope is strong and trustworthy. It's a strong and trustworthy anchor in our souls. It leads us through the certainty. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. That's Jesus has already gone there. Getting into the heart of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. God promises you. And then he seals it with an oath. You're going to see a handful of things develop. The promise is, I promise to do. Okay, so I say to you, I promise I'm going to show up and see you on such and such a day, or I promise I'll call you, right? That's my word, right? But then God adds this extra thing. He says, I promise to you. And then he says, you have my word on it, is the oath. I promise, you have my word. And since God is unchangeable, those two things should be rock solid in your life. Maybe you haven't seen it yet, but it doesn't mean it won't show up. Because God promises, and you have his word on it. Let me give you an example from yesterday. Right? I promise Yvonne Cease is going to win an award. Right? And God says, you have my word on it. What happens? She wins. A little simplistic, but you get the idea. It's a promise. And there are four truths in that scripture. Four truths about the unchanging kingdom. See, we're changeable, but there's four truths that talk about an unchanging kingdom. I want to go through those for you shortly here this morning. The first truth is God's promise is unchangeable. Now, he's, of course, unchangeable, so he'll promise things to you and I that are absolutely unchangeable. In Genesis 15, he talked to Abraham and said, I'm going to make you one big dad, right? I'm going to make you a big dad. I am going to deliver to you something. And I showed you the change curve, right? The change graph. And, you know, this stuff's all going through his mind. But he got to this thing called the decision part. In Genesis 5, 6, and Abram, of course, Abraham, I'm just using Abraham. Abram and Abraham's the same. His name was not changed yet. And Abram believed the Lord. There's the decision. I'm going to make you the father of all these people. And he makes the decision. So he goes through the shock and the denial. And all, can this happen? And he gets, okay, I believe you. I don't see it. I don't understand it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I believe it. I, Abraham, believed, and the Lord then counted him as righteous because of his faith. See, that's the promise in the Bible. There are many promises in the Bible. The problem is we don't go through them and really believe they're all for us, and they are. Why? They are unchangeable. I promise, my wife's favorite scripture, I promise to give you hope and a future. I promise. And you say, I don't have hope yet. I don't have a future. I don't see it. Not yet. Decision. Do you believe it? And then he swears it by an oath. My question, right, as we move through that scripture is, do you believe it? Do you believe that he is unchangeable? Do you believe he makes a promise that he will deliver the promise? Do you believe it? Why did Abraham believe God's promise? God says, I'm going to make you the father of all these people, right? I'm going to deliver to you. I don't have any kids. I don't, you know that story, right? I don't even have any kids, and I'm really old. I don't think I can have children. What are you talking about? Right? That's the story, right? Nothing had happened yet, church. Nothing had happened in his life. God made a promise, but he wasn't seeing the promise fulfilled. But he says, I believe. I believe you. Why did Abraham believe God's promises? It wasn't even fulfilled. Why? He was fully convinced God would deliver. So this morning, church, I ask all of us, are we fully convinced that God's going to deliver even though you don't see it yet? Are we fully convinced? Romans 4, 20, 20 through 21 says, Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. Now, I gotta stop, church. I can't say that about your pastor. I got to say it. I got to be honest. I got to confess. I have wavered. And if you confess, you would say you waver too. Right? We wavered. Abraham never wavered in believing God would deliver. Didn't see it. Didn't understand it. Did some things he shouldn't have done. But he's got to hold to it. Right? In fact, his faith grew stronger during the process. And in this, he brought glory to God. Verse 21 says, he was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever he promises. The church, the problem with us sometimes today is we are not fully convinced that God's going to deliver. Why? Because we haven't seen it yet. If we would make the transition in our life to say, I am fully convinced it's going to happen, then God says, the blessing, you're there. You're there. You're where I want you to be. He's fully convinced that God would deliver. Romans 4, 20-21. Abraham never wavered. He was fully convinced. Right? Just convinced. Second truth about the unchangeability of God. God's purposes are unchangeable. So his promises are unchangeable and his purpose for you and I unchangeable. Plans for a hope and a future. Unchangeable. Right? Unchangeable. Hebrews 6, 17. God also bound himself with an oath. Okay, now here comes an oath. I promise to do this for you. You have my word that I'll do it. Right? So that those who received that promise could be perfectly sure that he would never change his mind. God has a purpose that's never subjected to change. So the story of, remember, Isaac, the son of Abraham, when he finally gets a son, right? What does God do? God says, go sacrifice him. Go on a journey, take him to the hillside, build an altar, and sacrifice your son that I delivered to you by a promise and an oath. God wasn't doing that for God. God was doing that to bring Abraham to the next level. Are you going to be that obedient to me? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to go to the next level? Now, I told you I would deliver. You were fully convinced that I would deliver. Now I have delivered a son to you. Now go sacrifice him. That's what the Bible says, right? Go sacrifice him. Boy, now that's going to take some fully convincing, right? Promises me, gives me an oath, delivers, and now he says sacrifice. Okay. I'm still fully convinced. And Abraham was found obedient. Genesis 22, 16. This is what the Lord says. Because you have obeyed me and have not withheld even your son. Right? You know the story. He takes him up to the altar. He raises the knife. And right before that happens, God says, wait. Wait. I promised. I sealed it with an oath. I delivered, you were fully convinced, and then you were still fully convinced even after I told you to go build an altar and throw the kid on the fire. You are ready for what I really am going to give you. The father of it all, many nations, right? How many of us are in the proving ground right now? How many of us are going through that process right now? How many of us are going step by step, changing some things, dealing, negotiating with an unchanging God? We're in that process, right? And Abraham was found to be obedient. So God took an oath with him. Genesis 22, 16 through 17. This is what the Lord says, because you have obeyed me, and you have not withheld even your son, your only son at that point, right? I swear by my own name. I am the supreme authority. I will certainly bless you. I will multiply your descendants beyond number. Like the stars in the sky, the sand on the seashore, your descendants will conquer the very cities of your enemies. And the question I have for all of us is that us, are we obeying like that? Are we fully convinced? Church, why does God take an oath to show his purposes never change? Isn't his word enough? God says, I promise. Isn't that enough? Does he have to really come back and say, I promise, and you have my word on it? But he does. I promise you, you have a hope in the future. You have my word. Are you fully convinced? Right? Thoughts like this. An oath is a confirmation of the integrity of God's word. God's purpose will never change. And you have his word on it. Isaiah 14:24 says it like this: the Lord of heaven's army has sworn an oath. It will happen as I planned it to happen. It will be as I decide it to be. Always. Church's purposes are unchangeable. Point three, as we wind it and coming in for a landing, point three, truth. God's character is unchangeable. His character itself is just unchangeable. Hebrews 6:18, so God has given both his promise, I promise to do it, and his oath, you have my word. Those two things are unchangeable because it's impossible for God to lie. Watch what happens. Abraham's faith, his very faith, rested on the unchanging characteristic of God. I promise to do it. You have my word, Abraham. It's going to happen. So he could take his son up to an altar and get ready to sacrifice him because that's what he believed. He was ready. Abraham believed God is who he says he is. Abraham believed God told him the truth. Is that you and I today? Is that us today? Church, what would happen if God's character was a changeable character? What would happen if God had changeability like you and I as humans, like I introduced at the beginning of my message, that we're changeable, right? What happens if God was like that? He had changeability. You wouldn't pray to him because he has changeability. You would not pray to him because you would have no hope and assurance and promise and an oath that he could deliver because maybe he would change the next day. You wouldn't do it, right? You couldn't trust him because he could change. You wouldn't step out in faith because his promise and his oath might not be the same the next day as he was the previous day. So you wouldn't feel comfortable. You would never ask for help. Because on the one day he said, I'm going to help you. The next day he would say, I'm changing my mind. I'm not going to do it. So you would never ask him for help. Church, he doesn't change. He is who he says he is, and he cannot change, as Malachi referenced. So you have the hope, the assurance, the promise, and the oath that you could go to him and he will deliver, and you've got to be fully convinced. Number four, the fourth truth as we wind it up. We are changeable. You and I are changeable because God is unchangeable. I introduced you and I as changeable people. But God's unchangeability allows us to be changeable. Hebrews 6:19-20. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone in there for us. The thought says, because God's promises, God's purposes, and God's character never change, he has made it possible for you to change. What that means is you are not stuck where you are. You are not stuck in a situation that this unchanging God can't get you out of. His unchangeability provides you the ability to go from where you're at in a situation that you may be stuck in and be fully convinced that he can get you out of it and put you someplace else. And he can make a change in your life. Why? Because his kingdom's unchangeable. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. There's a change. Change took place yesterday in our parking lot. Change took place yesterday in our parking lot from an unchangeable God. Because you can hold on to that. The old life is gone, the new life's begun. That means your life changes because the steadiness of an unchangeable God gives you the reassurance that his promises are true and he seals it with an oath. I promise I will help you. You have my word. And that gives you the reassurance today, church, in a world that is shaken and changes every day. See, we need an anchor in these changing times because we're prone to be drifters. An anchor prevents us from drifting in these choppy seas of our lives in a never-changing world. It keeps us from sliding away, and it helps us not to be swept away by the winds of change and uncertainty. An anchor is like an immovable rock that holds you steady. This anchor has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. And church, he is the power of one. And that should give you just this unbelievable, fully convinced feeling this morning that you serve somebody that's unchangeable to deliver you from where you're at to where he wants you to be. I promise, and I give you my word. You are not stuck. That power of the Lord Jesus Christ can be placed right inside of you. The power of that one can be placed right inside of you. Many of you here today and watching online have that power of one placed inside of you. Some of you don't. This morning, before we close, I will give you the opportunity to accept that power of one right inside of you. Unchangeable kingdom in the uncertainty of a world that always changes. So, church, I'm going to ask you to bow your hearts, close your eyes. And I'm going to just ask if there's anybody here today that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that doesn't know the power of that person, doesn't know what he can do for you, and you're not fully convinced. I'm going to ask you this morning in a second to raise your hand. I won't call you down front. You're not joining the church. This is just between you and heaven. Living in a changeable world, talking to an unchangeable heaven, saying, Lord God, I want to be fully convinced. I want that promise. I want it sealed with an oath. The Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. The Bible says he promises to save you, deliver you, set you on a new path. I promise, he says. You have to make a decision. As I introduce my message, you have to make a decision, and that decision is now. So if that is you today, and you want to know this unchangeable God, all you have to do right now, if all heads are bowed and all eyes are closed, is just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Is there anybody here today at all that would say that? Anybody at all? Anybody want to raise their hand? Second question. Pastor, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I know that power. But you know, I'm struggling right now. I'm just struggling right now. I'm going through some things. I'm not fully convinced. I need help. I need that reassurance. I need the reassurance of not only the promise, but the oath that he says, I promise I'm going to be there for you. You have my word. If that is you today, I'm going to pray over you. Just slip up your hand if you're just struggling. Thank you so much. Anybody else? Yes, thank you. Anybody else? Yes, I see the hands in the back. I see your hands. Is there anybody else? So many more. I will wait for a second. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, the power of one in my life and many others, Lord God, I pray for those who raised their hand today. Lord God, they need that reassurance. Lord God, they need that promise. They need that oath. They need to know, Lord God, and convince them this morning. For those that need a physical touch and they raise their hand, Lord God, let them be fully convinced that the Bible says, I want to heal you. I want to deliver you. Lord God, they raise their hand. They surrendered. Lord God, I pray those promises I know are true. I know you sealed it with an oath that you will deliver. So Lord God, in Jesus' name, I pray for them today. I pray for the others that are new to the kingdom. They're struggling. I know who they are. Lord God, you know as well. They're struggling in the kingdom today, Lord God. Give them a clearer path. And the others, Lord God, that just need more convincing. They haven't seen it yet, Lord God. Abraham never saw it until you showed it, but he was fully convinced. Lord, give them that reassurance this morning. Give them that reassurance, Lord God. They need that, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name that your power of the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, your spirit floods them today, gives them that reassurance. Lord God, touch them. Those that didn't raise their hands today, Lord. Yes, we know those as well. Father, I ask for your touch upon them. Touch them, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, that's going to give you reassurance today. Give them a praise offering to believe. Stand with me. We're going to go out today as a congregation, and we're going to start to shout about the kingdom of heaven that's unchangeable. Lord, thank you for being unchangeable. Church, join with us as we give them a shout.
Shout, shout, till the walls come down. Shout, shout.
Church, be blessed. Go out and be thankful for that unchangeable God. One.